So while we were, our first stop, there was a whole lot of things I could share about the trip. It was really good. Started off a little rocky, a few places, hot as it was, but I'm not going there. I really wanted to, we stopped at a couple friends' house on the way up. I didn't want to drive 14 hours first. Actually, we did drive 14 hours straight coming home, but not bad. But the second night, we're in Greeley, Colorado, with some friends, and J.C. and Kim Dickens, and spent a couple nights with J.C. and Kim, and Sharon knows them. I don't know, anybody else know J.C. and Kim in here? Just a really neat couple. J.C.'s been around since Shep was a pup. He's not as old as me, but he's been around a long time. And really wise in the Lord, just really neat person to be around. And we're just, you know, it's really neat when you get like that and you can stop and just visit with others that you're not in contact with all the time and know what's going on. And before I share about it, we did go to church last Sunday morning in Cheyenne with Jerry and Andrea. And downtown Cheyenne, we're going. I'm like, Martin, I couldn't believe he's going all the way downtown Cheyenne to kind of a contemporary church. And I'm going to tell you what, y'all. It was like walking in here without a fiddle in the band. I mean, the order of service, Ricky, the way they did everything, I'm like, oh my goodness, this just feels like being at home. They're just missing the fiddle, and it's a little empty with that part. But tremendous bunch of people and things that I've been praying, that God's had me praying over the churches and the body of Christ. When you go like that, you get to see where God's answering your prayers. You see people doing things like, I mean, you know, I think we do things pretty close to as perfect as you can get here. But to see God answering prayers, the things taking place, I mean, they're talking about biblical civics, they're talking about the Constitution, all of the guy that's up here before church, they do the same, they minister on tithes, they hit the tithes and offerings, and they minister on tithes and offerings, and then they had the offerings, and then they went into, it's just really cool to go into that, you know. And I told Jerry, if we can get y'all a fiddle, it'll be better, but, you know, anyway, I don't think it was going to fit real good there, Ricky, it wouldn't really kind of deal, but it was a great deal. So anyway, so JC, we're, me and Kathy and Kim and him are sitting visiting one night, and we're sharing different things, and he said, have you ever read a book called God's Generals? Has anybody here ever read it? I'd never even heard of it, you know. And he said, I've read it about four times now. So I'm going to send it with you. And while you're, he said, now you got to drop it off on the way back by, because he's wanting me to read a pretty large book in a week. And while I'm at the Barrel Fraternity there at Gillette, and the first couple of days I read almost half of it. And I'm like, man, this is just really cool, because God's just telling us things that we've been talking about. But the man that wrote the book, his name, let me see if where I wrote that down somewhere. His name is Roberts. That's his first name. Roberts, Liardon. And this book is about some people I haven't even heard of. John and Alexander Dowie. Some of the others you will have heard of. You know, there was Mary Wordsworth Eller. Charles Parham. Some guys I'd heard of, but then towards the end, and I haven't got to Smith and John G. Lake and Emmy Semple McPherson. I haven't got, but it was all about these guys and their ministry and the great things they accomplished for God. But this guy shared what his deal in there was. He shared all the things they did so well. And how, you know how we talk about recognizing the strategies and deceits of Satan? They missed it in some areas, and it's not encouraging to know someone missed it, but it's encouraging to know that they weren't disqualified because they made some errors. And we need to understand that we're going to make mistakes here and there, but we're not disqualified from the ministry that God's called us to. that He set us each one here for a purpose and to fill a spot. But I told Ricky that I was reading, and I went to write. I don't do this very often, but as I'm reading that book, I'm trying to write down some highlights. And I want to share some of those with you today, because I think it was just, it was phenomenal. And I mean, I think we've been ministering about it, but at the same time, to just understand where we're going. Last couple weeks, y'all have heard about how they're wanting to implement some of the things they did back there in 2020. And I'm not going to go there big time this morning, Brian. I'll hammer on them at some point during this service. But I got news for them. It's like, they're wanting to implement the mask deal, and they're wanting to do this and to shut things down, and they've already put it out there, and they have already understood that this time the revolution takes place. They will not get that done. We will not bow the knee to tyranny. Don't put on no mask. Don't quit meeting. Read the book of the Constitution and know that they cannot stop us from doing any of that. They are tyrants, and we have authority over them with the blood of Jesus. Because I guess I am going there for a minute, Brian, because this is a nation put together by God with a government by the people for the people. If we don't approve it, it does not take place. They need to get that straight right now. And if we bow the knee, they think they got it. We are not bowing the knee. I'm not. And like Jesse said, they want to fight, they got to fight. He said, the kingdom of violence, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And Jesse said the other night on Flashpoint, the violent take it by force. We're to bring the kingdom of God from heaven to earth. It's going to take a little war. It's going to take a little bit of walking in the authority that God's called us to walk in. This isn't part of where I was going. But we must be who God called us to be. Amen. We're the church. We're the people. Remember the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We the people. These are God-given inalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They're not to invade our homes. They cannot take away your guns. That's a God-given right, and they cannot do that. They can't take our free speech. They can't take it. If there any of them are listening, come on, and we'll give you some of it. Stand up for who God's called us to be. Now, okay, let's go to somewhere else. I can go all day. I just love it. I love it. It's just, I really do. The Matthew 6:10, which is, the Lord's Prayer, when He's teaching the disciples to pray, He said, "Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on heaven as the earth is on earth as it is in heaven." And that Matthew 11:12 is the one where the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We've got to get to that point that we understand that it's not a violence. It's not an arrogant violence thing. It's recognizing the authority we're in and yielding to the Word of God and wielding our sword, which is the Word, for the weapons of our warfare. That's later on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's go to Psalms 91. All of us know Psalms 91. We all declare it over our families every day, don't we? Okay, let's read it right fast. Doesn't take very long. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made You, Lord, who is our refuge, even the Most High, our dwelling place. No evil shall befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For You've given Your angels charge over us, and they keep us each one in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall we trample underfoot. And because we've set our love upon you, Lord, therefore will you deliver us. Thank you, Lord, for setting us on high because we know your name. We call upon you, you answer us, you're with us in trouble, you deliver us and honor us with long life, do you satisfy and show us your salvation. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I forgot one more thing the Lord told me to do this morning. Instead of me just praying, we're going to declare a couple more things. And y'all can shout it out loud. I just got to get to each one of them so I make sure we get it all declared. You know, Job tells us, declare a thing and it's established for you. And so, this is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Say this with me. Father God, thank you for giving unto me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Having the eyes of my understanding enlightened, so I may know what is the hope of my calling. Now I'm going to jump over to Colossians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to fill me with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's our prayer and declaration this morning. You receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive that. Thank the Lord. We declared it. We ask him for it. He said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Okay, so I got to go back, find out where I was, Ricky. I'm getting there. We read Psalms 91 right there. And that abiding in the secret place of the Most High, to stay put, to get under the shadow of the Almighty, live in His presence, I think that's a place we never have to get out of. If we'll consciously desire to be in the center of God's will, to stay under His wings, in the shadow of Him, we can constantly be instructed with having every step ordered of the Lord and be in the right place at the right time. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I'm about to say that sometimes, Betsy, I might get in a ditch every now and then. We all do. We get frustrated. We get, you know, but if we'll continue to pay attention, we'll just move right back in place. You know, it's what we do. But from that book, we're taught, one of the things that one of them guys, I just got this author, he's trying to make sure that we get points here. Listen to this. God has a central point from which every aspect of our lives operate. That area is called timing. From the operation of that one word, our lives move forward with God or can be hindered. Did y'all get that? Timing. Let me read that again. God has a central point from which every aspect of our lives operate, and that area is called timing. From the operation of that one word, our lives move forward with God or can be hindered. It's vitally important to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is not always right to move into action because it seems like the thing to do. Anybody been there? It's like you just know, you know, sometimes it's like, well, it just seemed like the right thing to do. And after it was all over, it's like, that was not the right thing to do. And sometimes those deals are like words. You know, once those words come out of our mouth, they ain't coming back. And thank God for God even making our mistakes to prosper when we do those stupid things like that and get out of that timing. But sometimes, I mean, God's going to fix them, but still, a lot of times, we're going through some consequences that we would rather have not experienced, and God would rather not us had to go through. So it's timing is critical. You know, it's like I say, it's not always right to move into action because it seems like the right thing to do. Prayer and intercession are the keys. Prayer and intercession are the keys. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 21. Not anything that we all don't know. We talk about it. But Jeremiah chapter 29. Y'all know what I'm fixing to read. But we need to set our eyes on it. We need to be reminded of things. So we put ourselves, you know, the word says God tells us to put him in remembrance. We need to put ourselves in remembrance of what he said to where we hold on to it. And we won't let go of it. And it'd be in Jeremiah 29, let's start in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Right there, we need to understand when we go and pray to God, He is listening to us. And if He's listening to us, we have an audience with Him. And when we pray His Word does not return void. You will seek me, verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Sometimes God has to bring us back because we get in the ditch. Not on purpose. A lot of times it's strictly just getting in our too big a hurry and, you know, kind of straying off a little bit. But God said, I'm listening to you. If you'll call on me, I'm going to answer you. I'm going to put you back in that position. So we got to listen so we get the timing right. Listen to this. Now, this didn't come out of this book. This actually came from Jesse the other night on Flashpoint. I thought this was cool. The battle may not be our choice, but the outcome is. Listen to that again. The battle may not be our choice, but the outcome is. So as we each one rise up and take our place, the Lord arises over us and His glory is going to be seen upon us. Isaiah 60, you know, verses 1 through 3 right there. You know, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness covers earth and deep darkness the people. But I've arisen over you and your glory shall be seen among the Gentiles and kings shall come to the brightness of your rising and your light. Sometimes we don't feel real bright. We don't feel like shining. And God's saying, no. Rise up and take our place. There's a timing. I'm going to tell you what, the timing is getting so critical right now of no wasted movement. No wasted declarations. Everything we do right now, we need to have our steps being ordered of the Lord. Because you see, we're coming into a time where people want to see the goodness of God. They don't know that yet. But they're searching. They just don't know what it is they're searching for. And every one of us in here has an area of influence. And we need to now take that, exercise our authority in that area of influence. Not arrogance, not haughtiness. We're just going to walk in that authority of the Word. And, well, I'm just going to read some more points here to you. I guess that's the best thing to do. Because, listen, evil will always try to persecute the power of God. It's always going to try to do it. It's always going to, but listen, the supernatural never bows to the natural. Supernatural, that's you and me. We do not bow to the natural. We do not bow to that we know has been given to us by Almighty God. When the God of nature and nature's God, when He set things in order and we're running into people that are confused because they don't know whether they're a man or a woman or a fuzzy or a skunk or whatever, we should recognize right off they've been highly deceived. And we say, Lord, how do I break that deception off of them? Because you love them, Lord. You created them to fill a spot. You knew them just like you knew me before you formed them in their mother's womb. And you do not desire, Father, that they be deceived, but that they come out from under that deception and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because they got a part to play in the kingdom that would help me and you fill our spot. Yes. Now, I don't always see it that way. I got to work on that part. But I'm working on that part because as we were out the past couple weeks and God started to see these things and you're looking at people and you're like, wow, things are taking place. We got to step it up. We got to walk in love. We got to understand what that love of God is because the time's getting short. Things are fixing to transpire that if we're not ready, we're going to be sitting on the sidelines looking, saying, where did I miss it? What do I do? I want to be a part of this battle. As Billy said before, she said she was going to Israel and last year and said, there's going to be a war and I want to be there when that war takes place. We should be wanting to engage in the battle. It's time to engage, to get off our butts, quit worrying about our own little petty stuff. And because let me keep reading what he said. Ephesians 2:10. We know that 2:8-10 talks about we being the workmanship of God, recreated in Christ Jesus and born anew for those good works that He's ordained for us to walk in. We are to never sway from what God has commanded us to do. Man, we got to set our face like flint and say, you know what? I don't care. Come hell or high water, it don't matter. I'm going on with what God told me to do. I'm not backing up. No matter what our age, our generation has not passed away until we exit the earth and enter heaven. Okay, did y'all get that? We need to all pay attention to that, no matter what our age. When we are tempted to slow down and to quit, he said we must never, our age does not, commanded us, no matter what our age and our generation has not passed away until we exit the earth and enter heaven. We must make it the utmost priority to fill our God-ordained commission as long as we live. We got a spot. We were created in God's image. He ordered our days for us. And if we'll submit unto Him, recognize the strategy and deceits of Satan, cast aside every weight and sin that would beset us so we can run with patience the races God set before us, we'll get on that right track. And I'm going to tell you what. It doesn't matter. Jerry Martin shared a story with me about his nephew. He was in a church up there. He was going somewhere else, not where Jerry and them went. And there was a guy sitting over there just by himself, been coming to that church for several weeks. And not one person at church had spoke to him, except for Jerry's nephew. He went over and started sitting with him and visiting with him. The guy was fixing to commit suicide. And Jerry's nephew he didn't commit suicide. He got on track with the Lord. But Jerry said not one other person at church ever said anything to him. We got to get out of that busy. We got to pay attention throughout the day where we're going. We and Cassie, a lot of times we go and I get focused on whatever we're doing with the horses, Sharon, and I don't. But this time, we both tried to be really aware. And we got to visit. We didn't preach to nobody. Betsy, it wasn't like we were preaching to anybody, but different ones rode up, and we were riding around the track with them and sharing things. And one man that I'm not going to mention his name, but he had a daughter that made it to NFR in a barrel race, and he trains barrel horses, and we're riding around, and he goes to share with me and Kathy. That's always been his passion. And his dad, he said he was 6 years old when they're sitting on a. He said, Daddy wouldn't even let us. And he said, Daddy made a lot of money. He said, it wasn't like he didn't have it. He just wouldn't give us nothing to go watch a rodeo or nothing. And him and his mom are sitting on a hill, and he's watching. He's 6 or 8 years old, something like that. And Jimmy Monroe, she was Jimmy Gibbs at the time, comes in on Billy and runs the barrels. A horse, yeah, it's a horse. His name was Billy. And said, I just said God's first name. Kelly said, Mom, I'm going to train horses to do that right there. And we're riding around the track, and it's what he does today. He trains really good horses. We're riding around the track, and he's just shared so many stories with us. And as he's sharing all them from his youth, he told me, this one really got me. He's like six. He said, I was 6 months old the first time Mama put me on a horse. And he asked his mother one day, at a Christmas or birthday or something, they're visiting. He said, Mom, you remember the first time you put me on a horse? She said, yeah, you were 6 months old. And he told her what she was wearing that day. She said, you can't remember that. You were 6 months old. He said, I remember every bit of it. He said, whenever you put me on and I laid my hands on that horse's neck, it's like electricity went through me. And he told her what she was wearing that day. And I said, Kelly, do you understand that Psalms 139 says that God formed you in your mother's womb before the foundations of the world and orchestrated your days for you? And he did. It just opened up a conversation. And my point being, I'm not patting me on or Kathy on the back. What I'm pointing is we got to open our ears to be aware, because there's people in our area of influence And in that area of influence, we exercise authority there. God has given us authority over the principalities and powers and the rulers in those areas of influence. And we're to exercise that authority. We are not to be, we're not to compromise. We're not to back up because we're in a battle. But there's people out there that they need to know. And they're going to open the door. If we'll listen and we'll watch, they'll say or do something that will give us an end. And we can plant a little seed. Don't got to go preach to them, try to get them baptized in the Holy Ghost at that moment. But look forward, but be ready, because it's going to come a time. Okay, so when we talked about when we obey, okay, Job 36:11-12, when we obey and serve Him, we spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasure. We're going to be enjoying what we do, and we're going to have what it takes to get it done. There's not going to be any shortage. Okay, I'm going to have to hurry up. We need to learn to obey God with boldness. Boldness brings the power of God on the scene and, listen, leaves our accusers speechless in our very presence. When we get bold, I'm going to tell you what, when the church gets bold, it ticks the devil off, but he really don't got no comeback. He really don't want to do. He mostly cries and whines and goes to jumping up and down and throwing a tantrum, and that's what most of those people do. You can't do this. You can't. Shut up. In the name of Jesus, I can. JC's telling me the other day about one of the guys in the team roping world that y'all, a lot of y'all would know, and he's agnostic. And JC's been trying to share with him a lot over the years, and he's an older fella. And he said, well, JC, you don't know. And JC said, I do too know. It's in here. Well, he didn't have a comeback for that one. He hadn't changed him yet, but He's planting them seeds. We got to be bold. We got to, and listen, y'all, this memorial service, celebration of life we did, Friday night, Sharon, they had a big deal up there to right up the building right next to the outdoor arena, that smaller building at the San Angelo at Rope and Fiesta deal, and they had a big deal. And I walk in there, and I'll be honest with you, I was a little intimidated because I'm looking around there, and I told Kathy, I've known this family for a long time, and there's not five people in that whole room we knew. And I'm watching them, and I'm thinking, this might be a little tough. And if you've ever done very many funerals, I've done a lot. I would share one about Ron Ross not doing that I had to do, but I'm not going to go there and embarrass Ross. I was mad at Ron Ross for not doing it. But different parts of the country, you see the different influences that are over the demonic or oppressive influences that are over parts of the country when you do funerals. You recognize those things because there's things there, and the Lord said, you be bold and you speak what I tell you to speak. So when we got there yesterday, I put on the bold deal. And praise God. I mean, some of them can't look at you when you're being that way. They're going to bow their knee to the Word of God. They're going to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. We got to be bold. We learn to obey God with boldness. Boldness brings the power of God on the scene, leaves our accusers speechless in our presence. Acts 4, let's go there. Acts chapter 4. Just to set our eyes on some of this and just to know, because we got to cultivate it. We need to know where it's at so we can declare it and put it. Acts 4, I think it's verse 29, I think that's what it is. Yes, verse 29 and 30. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants, us your servants, that with all boldness we may speak your word. Verse 30, when we boldly speak the word, God stretches out his hand to heal, and signs and wonders are done through the name of his holy servant Jesus. We didn't do nothing, we just got bold. We just get bold, we speak the word, let God handle the details. It's not our job to convince them, it's not our job to convert them. We can't do any of that. All we can do is do what God told us to do, okay? He said, with all boldness, speak the word. Listen, the Christian religion, faith in God and His word must be demonstrated. The world world wants to be shown, and the power of God is to be manifested through you and me. It's time for us to be bold and to expect God to confirm His word through signs following. Don't try to explain what you did not see happen. We're not to explain nothing. We are to be bold. We're to proclaim the word and say, Father, thank you for confirming your word with the signs following. He'll determine the signs he needs, because it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. The healings in the Old Testament, I got news for you. All those people Jesus healed, they weren't saved yet. You don't got to be saved to get healed. That healing is a confirmation of the power and the love of God that leads people to repentance. And when we start trying, when we decide, I'm going to be bold, and Lord, this is what you said. You said to do what Jesus did, to lay my hands on the sick and they'll recover. So, Lord, I'm laying my hands on them. Thank you, they're recovered. We're supposed to be bold. We're going to get off of it and say, you know what, I ain't backing up. No, I'm going to make the devil throw a tantrum every day of the week. I won't make him so mad when I get up in the morning. He's like, I don't, when he went away from Jesus after the third temptation, you know, and can you imagine the tantrum he threw when Jesus come through the, busted the doors of hell wide open and went to taking authority over them? He's throwing some kind of tantrum. You know, he was so glad when he left, and now he's still so stupid that he thinks he's going to get control. And listen, guys, if we'll do, we're not to bow the knee. Never, never, never. We got to stand up. Remember, the supernatural never bows the knee to the natural. We are part of the supernatural. That's who we are. Okay? Are y'all okay with that? Okay. Mark 16:20 is what we can stand on, to know that we're to expect God to confirm His word through the signs following. That's when He gave the Great Commission and told the disciples, you go out and preach the word, and I'll confirm it with the accompanying signs. Matthew 6, I'm going to hurry up a little bit here. Matthew 6:33, we know, seek first the kingdom of God for yourself, for we're all called, and we will have to answer for it. We're all called to an area of influence, to an area to take, to exercise dominion over those principalities and powers that Jesus has already made of. Oh, it's in Colossians. Let me find it too. He has disarmed and made a public spectacle of and triumphed over. It's like Colossians 3 or 4. For sake of time, look that up. But Jesus has already disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. All we got to do is declare the word and enforce that disarmament. We just be bold and enforce it. Okay, let me see where I am. We're going to answer for where we're called to be. So if we need to obey God without question, and He will handle the details. Some days it's, you don't see any details being handled. You're kind of like, I'm doing this and this, Lord, what you told me to do. I haven't seen nothing. And then we go over to Hebrews chapter 11, where it says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't see it happening. And I'm like, this is really fun, Lord. Could you show me something? He said, I thought you walked by faith and not by sight. Do you trust me with all your heart? You want to lean not into your own understanding? Are you going to just acknowledge me and let me direct your steps, or are you going to whine and complain? Amen. Hey, y'all, you know, it's just us. It's just, you know, we're just there, and we're surrounded by people that want to act the same way. So we need to help each other not act that way. We need to act like the powerhouses that we are in the kingdom of God. We've been anointed and appointed, so we got to do it. So then my next deal here is, let me go down. Let's see. We're called to obey God, whatever the cost, and let success answer our critics. We just obey God and do what He told us to do, and let success answer our critics. We don't have to explain anything. Just be a doer of the word. Success comes. It takes over. Okay? Cast not away our confidence. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And Hebrews 11:6. For God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I just every day I'm like, Lord, I'm diligently seeking You. I would like some rewards. Your kids, when they do what You told them to do, they do not come running with their hands out if they're little. You know, the teenagers, it's like, well, You owe me this. No, I don't owe You nothing. But those little ones, they appreciate it to the point. You know, Caitlin told me one time, we were down at the roping pen, and she said, you know, I think I roped a lot better when I didn't think I knew everything, and I listened to you. I said, I think you roped a lot better then, too. You should go back and revert back to some of that, you know. But, you know, it's like, let's hurry up and get out of here before we know everything, you know, and all, just all that. Okay. Don't whine or complain. Pray. Explanations and excuses rob us of strength and power. I thought that's really good, and I'm like, oh, geez. You know, it kind of, it's like you need to wear steel-toe boots sometimes when you come to church. Luke 10:19, you know, it's, Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Well, we're to use that authority that's been given to us by God and through Jesus and overthrow powers that blind people. Okay, Brian, now, Sarah, here, I'm going back to this just a little bit. Listen, politicians in the political arena, they're using their influence to blind people in this nation to truth. You see, if they don't teach history and the Constitution in the school, people don't know their rights. If me and you, I thought about this on the way to church this morning as we're just driving, and I'm thinking, that's pretty cool, because if we in the church don't teach people the whole word, they don't know. Because most of them won't go study. A lot of them won't go study for themselves if they haven't got that far along to where there's been a hunger and thirst created. But as we cultivate that hunger and thirst and we begin to learn, we know our rights. And when we know the Constitution of the United States of America, we will not bow the knee to the tyrants that are in positions of authority right now. We will learn how to take them out. And it's the same thing, but we got in the church, we've got to teach people. You know, J.C. made, now this is a cool statement for all y'all that are baptized in the Holy. If you're not, this is going to get you right here, okay? This is like training up a person. How many veterans do we have in here? That, okay, all right. So when they trained you up to go out, thank you for your service. But here's, look, when they trained you up, had they sent you to the battlefield to fight without a gun, would you have wanted to go? Absolutely not. Well, if when we get born again and we're going and we're in a war, listen, we just joined the army of the Lord when we get born again. We got things to do and things to accomplish. And it's the same thing when we're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's like to go into a gunfight without a gun. We get baptized in the Holy Ghost, we now have the power. So just saying, you go from there. We'll sure, if you're interested, we can get her done after church. Okay? We're to use the authority that God has given us. Politicians in the political arena can never change the world. Only a people whose hearts are changed by the gospel can transform civil laws and regulations. And you know, remember, the supernatural never bows to the natural. So as we begin to do that, we're in our area of influence. If it's at the school as a teacher, at the beauty shop as a hairdresser, at the feet, wherever we are. No area, we all have an area of influence. No occupation is not subject to this. We all have a place to be and things to do. And when we make up our mind that we're gonna take authority to our area of influence, it's gonna change things in that. And people then begin to see the goodness of God. They may not know what they're seeing at the beginning. Be patient. Some of them are gonna bow up and they don't understand it. But when we continue to do as God instructed us to do, to walk in love, that's exercising that authority. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 30, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. But they're mighty, supernatural in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when we use those weapons, God handles the details. When we use our carnal weapons, He don't get to handle the details. And sometimes we create a mess. So we need to just be remembered there, which weapon. Be sure we're armed with the right weapons. Okay? Prayer and intercession make a clear path for the Spirit of God to minister to the hearts of the people. And John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Focus on the truth. Jesus is the truth. When we focus on the truth, the false will fade away. When the power of God comes on you, you will enjoy it. And when you enjoy something, you tell people about it and you show it. And when you, so we are to learn the truth of what God loves and His worshipers and do it. The truth always outlives the lie. Jesus is the truth. Nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. So if you're here today and you've never come to the Father through Jesus, you need to get born again. You need to get, you know, we're all a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. The body's going to wear out. The mind, the will, and the emotions will try to pervert the things we do if we don't bring them into subjection to the Word of God. And when our spirit man gets born again, we have the power to do that. And so we want to be born again. We want to be in right relationship with God so we can spend eternity with Him. But we have to come through Jesus and acknowledge that Jesus, when we confess, Romans 10:9-10, when we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. So we're all going to pray a prayer. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. But we don't want to embarrass you. We just want to pray. We're all going to pray together. And so let's, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray this. Father God, thank You today for sending Jesus. I recognize my need for a Savior, that I need my spirit reborn so I can walk in the fullness of life You created me to walk in. So I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart, Father, that You raised Him from the dead. I repent and turn from wickedness. I turn to doing things Your way and living the life You created for me in Jesus' name. Jesus, thank You for coming into the heart and being the Lord of my life, forgiving me of all my sins, and cleansing me from all unrighteousness in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today was the day that you made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three. All I want to do is just get you to raise your hand so we can give you a Bible. I won't embarrass you. Ready? One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Thank y'all so much. Guys, I hope that, I don't know about y'all, that stuff excited me. It like pushed on me to like, be bold. Actually, walk in that authority. Don't be arrogant. Don't be rude or haughty or selfish. But walk in what God created us to walk in, because it's time to demonstrate the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. There you go.